Dr. Andrewich was not able to present, so I am presenting in her place, and we have no relationships other than we're friends. The background for our thoughts about why we wanted to do a graduate program for infection preventionists is that we in public health have a very rich history of caring about and designing interventions to promote population health and prevent infectious diseases, and hospital nurses, of course, also have that same rich tradition. But what has happened lately is a re-emergence of hospital-associated infections and a re-emergence of infectious diseases that are multi-drug resistant. So we know in the United States there's about 1.7 million healthcare-associated infections, I'm going to say HAIs after this, and there's about 99,000 associated deaths from HAIs, and the estimated cost is $28 to $38 billion a year that goes to what are essentially preventable healthcare-associated infections. Now, why has this occurred? Well, there's been some changes in characteristics of the host, the agent, and the environment, which has really been important over the last 10 or 15 years, and when we look at healthcare-associated infections. We have increasing number of people whose host defenses and immunologic system has been impaired by medical and surgical treatments. So we have people who are in our communities, in our hospitals, who have solid organ transplants, bone marrow transplants, cancer patients, people who are living with indwelling devices such as hip implants, I have two, heart valves, joint replacements, and so we are at increased risk for infection because of those recent technological changes. We have increasing numbers of very elderly in our population whose immune system is compromised, very low birth weight babies, people who are living with chronic diseases such as HIV or autoimmune diseases, diabetes, this whole large cohort of persons that are much more susceptible because we've been able to keep people alive longer, but then that puts them at risk. Many of you are familiar with the drug resistance from increased use of antimicrobial agents that, improper prescribing or people who want a quick fix or take their medication. If you do STI prevention, you know, people give the drugs to the other person. Well, then we have many more resistant organisms. There's certainly a huge germ scare going on in our society, and people, although I think it's very positive to have hand sanitizer, but, you know, people are so afraid of germs, so there's all these different products that may, in fact, contribute to drug resistance, depending on what the ingredients are in the product. And, of course, we have lots of antibiotics in the food chain, and all of us in public health are aware of this, and you can find antibiotics, you know, floating in rivers and in your, turn on your faucet, and there's antibiotics in that, and so it's everywhere around us, and again, that contributes to the multi-drug resistant organisms, which then contribute to these healthcare-associated and community-acquired infections. A thing that's really important is what's going on in our high-tech medical centers, and I'm from Loyola University, where we have an academic medical center where we do heart transplants and kidney transplants and bone marrow transplants. But what you see is that lots of folks who are in the hospital or in nursing homes or in ambulatory surgery have had lots of invasive procedures. So we have people with central line, so they have central line associated bloodstream infections, urinary tract catheters, urinary tract infections, ventilator associated pneumonias. Lots of people who have surgical site infections because of poor technique, but also there's some problems in even cleaning some of the high-tech equipment that we have, such as endoscopes. It's hard to clean those properly, and that again is contributing to these HAIs around the nation. The other thing that's interesting, I'm sure you looked at those studies where you culture the computer keyboard and that's full of drug-resistant organisms and the stethoscope and the physician's tie and the light switch, you know, and stuff. And it turns out that the toilet seat is cleaner, you know, than the light switch because somebody regularly cleans the toilet seat, but they don't clean the light switch. And you find C. difficile on the patient's bedside table. So it's a huge problem, which affects all of us. Certainly, we in public health know about foodborne diseases because we have centrally processed foods that are nationally distributed. So we have eggs, E. coli, you know, and E. coli in the strawberries and the lettuce. And then the whole issue of globalization, which is certainly an important thing we've talked about at this meeting. and we've, you know, you've heard papers about SARS from China to Hong Kong to Toronto. Many of you in health departments deal with multi-drug resistant tuberculosis coming from Eastern European countries, the United States. A lot of stuff with plant and animal diseases from illegal imports. So if we were all veterinarians, you'd have a whole bunch of stories to tell about that. So, and this, of course, is not going away. So the infection preventionists in hospitals not only have to know about the kinds of things common in the community, but as you know, we're 8 hours away from any place in the world where people could have a bunch of somewhat exotic kinds of infectious diseases, and infection preventionists have to know about those as well. And of course, the whole issue of bioterrorism, and since many pathogens have the potential to be weaponized. So the issue that comes up is that here we have all this high-tech stuff, but we have a failure of low-tech prevention, so we're still struggling with hand washing, and I think the latest numbers are only about 60% of healthcare workers clean their hands properly, no matter what they do. So your mother was right, you know, when your mother told you to wash your hands, she had the right idea. So what that has led to, of course, is all these multi-drug resistant organisms. So you all know about MRSA, VRSA, KPC, C. difficile, all these kinds of things. And this has made a huge difference, not only for hospitalized patients, but the people we're all going to see in the community, because people are out, they're in the home, and they're on IV antibiotics because they have these healthcare-associated infections. And the public is starting to notice. There's been increased scrutiny by regulatory agencies, as you know, that Medicare does not want to pay for never events. There's public awareness due to better surveillance. If you come from a state where you have a hospital report card, you can look up how many HAIs in your hospital. People read horror stories in the media, you know, flesh-eating bacteria. So there is a bunch of concern. But then one of the most important things that has happened, and this is kind of a take-home message, is for us in public health, that healthcare-associated infections have been reframed as part of patient safety. And I can say that when we first started doing this, there was not a whole lot of concern. Once we started talking about quality and patient safety, never events, there's been much more attention focused on healthcare-associated infections and on the role of the nurse in preventing those. So that's been a big paradigm shift, and that was part of the impetus for us to look to get some funding to do a graduate program. So what we sort of concluded at Loyola was that our healthcare and community-associated infections are recognized as a major threat to public health, and that hospital-based nurses need to adopt public health principles and become population-focused, because that is what has worked in public health. We believe that is what is going to have a big impact on healthcare-associated infections. And what has happened for the nurses who are doing, they used to be called infection control nurses. They are now called infection preventionists, and their scope of practice has changed. So a famous article for these nurses has been from clipboard to boardroom. So it used to be somebody who ran around with a clipboard and counted how many infections. Not anymore. These are people who are expected to be high-level people sitting on boards, sitting with the risk manager, sitting with the lawyer, and they need to be talking about prevention, surveillance, rapid intervention, and accountability for outcomes. So the expectation has changed greatly. So based on that, we at Loyola did a big needs assessment, and what we found is that there was a lag between the education of nurses for that role and the education that's available to them. When we first looked at this in 2004, we saw that very few nurses were educated appropriately at the graduate level to meet the challenges of this new role, and that there was no MSN program, no master's programs designed specifically for nurse infection preventionists. So we applied for a HRSA grant, and we were very pleased to be funded. And our HRSA grant was designed to prepare advanced education nurses through the enhancement of advanced nursing education and practice who have the expertise in population-based infection control and environmental safety. And our acronym is PICES. So it's really not about fish, but it is about prevention. But a big thing here is the concept of population, which was not a big concept in a lot of infection control prior to us doing this. So our first objective of our HRSA grant was to improve the access to quality health care by preparing the appropriate number of health professionals in a new graduate nursing specialty, which is our PICES program, population-based infection control and environmental safety. The interesting thing is that those of us teaching in the program all have PhDs in public health, not in nursing, so we sort of brought all the public health stuff in, and we've kind of sort of met in the middle with all the people who had some of these clinical skills, more med-surg, OR background, and that's been a very nice mix in our programming. Our second objective was to improve the public's access to a culturally competent and diverse workforce. And so we've made a really big effort to work to find, to recruit minority students and health professionals from around the country, and also to give our students experiences in clinical sites which serve low-income and diverse populations. So we have a 41-credit hour Master of Science in Nursing, and the curriculum has nursing theory, ethics, and research, which you would expect, but we have a very strong emphasis on epidemiology, immunology, microbiology, methods for infection prevention, advanced community health, but we also have a very big leadership piece in this because we know that these people have to make system-wide changes. You can't just run around with a clipboard. You have to be at the boardroom making system changes. So we have a big emphasis on management and leadership, program planning and evaluation, health policy, and finance. We also have a 15-credit hour certificate program for people who are not quite ready to get a master's degree but who need this skill set. They're already employed in those positions. In terms of certification, there is no certification that demands a master's level to be an infection preventionist, but there is an organization called APIC that will certify infection preventionists, and students might also be eligible for the ANCC certification. We got a competing continuation grant because once we started this, we discovered that many of the nurses didn't even have a bachelor's degree yet, so what they needed was an RN to MSN. So we got a competing continuation grant to do an RN to MSN, and everything in our program is online so that we can attract people from all across the country. Once you do something online with all across the country, you have to be pretty creative in how you're going to pick clinical sites and preceptors, and we've been pretty successful with that. We've also developed something called our PATH framework, where everybody in our program has to have some activities in our pre-professional PATH, which is working with youth to encourage them to have careers in the health professions. Our professional PATH looks at recruitment of diverse students. We have one student on the Navajo Reservation who's an online student, so we've worked very hard for diversity in our program. We've worked very hard to train our preceptors to be skillful, even though they're at remote sites. And we have a public component talking about how we can make these folks leaders in infection prevention in their own institutions and in their communities. I can say that early recruitment was challenging, and it was challenging because nurses in this role did not think they needed a master's degree. They were already infection control nurses. But the big thing that happened was the magnet recognition program. When everybody else has a master's degree, it became pretty clear, and the hospitals then became supportive of their nurses enrolling in an online class and getting a master's degree. Plus, it was also the reframing as a patient safety issue and a loss of revenue. So we've been going for 6 years. We have 24 current students. We have national recruitment. We've got students from prisons, Indian reservations, the schools, the operating rooms. Our first graduates were in 2007. They're employed in leadership positions in infection prevention in academic health centers, community hospitals, and health departments. Very good. And I will tell you that it's challenging to do online coursework, but it's the online clinicals are the most challenging. People like online coursework. They're all working professionals. It's trying to set up the clinicals, but it works. You can do it. And believe me, these folks need it because we're the only program in the country, so we have to be online, and we're grateful for HRSA. Let me just tell you just a few of the projects. People have done projects at JCHO. They've done projects at the University of Chicago. They've done active surveillance of MRSA. They've done disaster situation kinds of things. We did a vancomycin study in Tuba City, Arizona at the Navajo Reservation. Wonderful projects. And I'm going to go real quick here to say that we have something new. We have a DNP. Woohoo! So we did get funded to do a brand new program in infection prevention, which is the Doctor of Nursing Practice level. Because what we found out now that as the role gets much and more sophisticated, you actually do need to go up a notch. And so our new program is called PIPES, and it's a DNP in infection prevention. And what we've added to this is there's a lack of faculty. Well, you know, there's a lack of faculty for everything. There's really a lack of faculty to teach infection prevention and a lack of people qualified to be the mentors, because if you have a master's prepared person, you're going to need a DNP person to mentor them. So that's our latest grant, and it's for a DNP in infection prevention. And that's their grant number. But here's the other thing we put that's a good thing. All the core public health functions have been integrated with the essentials of DNP education. Again, we brought the Bible of public health with us. So that's all in there, and we're real proud of that. And so we now have a post-BSN to DNP, which is 74 semester hours, and it's also available as a post-master's. And that's the end of my story.